This morning, I had a couple of words that came in, but the first one that was very strong was very early this morning. And I heard James chapter 4, and I kind of know James chapter 4, and you don't need to go there. And the verse was, God is against the proud. So humble yourself and He will lift you up. God is against the proud. Those who think that, you know, it's complicated to serve God, I can tell you it's not that complicated if you just learn to be who you are. Whatever age you're at, whatever level you're at, it's not that hard. Now, the thought patterns in my mind when I first began to obey the Lord began to go all over the place in my mind. I mean, I really had to struggle. And I just was fearful of a lot of things, but I didn't realize that that was called bondage. So a little later on, after I studied, I looked at a couple of corners in the Word, and then I heard, in particular, I have a book called My Utmost for His Highest. Well, Oswald Chambers has been a friend of mine now for many years. And I heard, go to June 2nd. Now, it's not quite June 2nd, but today is June 2nd for you. And the scripture that's in here is Psalms 25, which we will be looking at in a little while. But I want to kind of read to you, because these are daily readings. There's a reading for every day, and it prompts me. And I've used this book for several years. I've gone back to other books, but I always come back to this one. Because you know what? After 365 days, it's brand new all over again. And so I'm just going to ask you to close your eyes. But before that, I'm going to ask the Lord to just open your hearing, to open your understanding, to really open up on the interior of your spirit man this word that would come alive to you so that it would have an impact and change who you are. Because if you don't get changed, then I've wasted my time and you've wasted yours. Now you need to say amen. Okay. What man is be that feareth the Lord? Psalms 25, verse 2. What man is be that feareth the Lord? What are you haunted by, you will say? By nothing. But we are all haunted by something. Generally, ourselves. Or if we are Christians, by our experiences. The psalmist says we are to be haunted by God. The abiding consciousness of the life is to be God. Not thinking about Him, the whole of our life, inside and out, is to be absolutely haunted by the presence of God. A child's consciousness is so that mother haunted that about the child. Is not consciously thinking of its mother. Yet, when calamity arises, the relationship that abides is that of the mother. So we are to live and move and have our being in our mother or in our God. To look at everything in relationship to God. Because the abiding consciousness of God pushes itself to the forefront part-time or all the time. Okay. If we are haunted by God, nothing else can get in. No cares. no tribulation, no anxieties. Say, that's for me. No cares, no tribulation, and no anxieties. Wouldn't that be a quality life? We see now why our Lord so emphasized the sin of worry. The sin of what? How many are guilty? Yeah. Oh, my God. Is she going to make it? Is he going to make it? Yeah, that's worry. How can we dare to be absolutely unbelieving when God is around about us? Woo-hoo. To be haunted by God is to have an effective barricade against all the onslaughts of the enemy. Say amen. Amen. All right. His soul shall dwell at ease in tribulation, misunderstanding, slander, in the midst of all these things. If our life is hid with Christ in God, He will keep us at peace. He will keep us at peace. Now that's an intense comment, isn't it? We rob ourselves of the marvelous revelation of this abiding companionship of God, and God is our refuge. Nothing can come through that shelter. Nothing. Doesn't say some things. Nothing. So are we abiding in Christ? How many are abiding in Christ at least 20 minutes a day? Good for you. If you're not going there 20 minutes a day, you should be going in for 24. Because He's giving you 24 hours. That wouldn't be a bad deal, would it? But you understand, we're so busy trying to be entertained or entertaining ourselves. And I kind of believe that God kind of pushed my buttons on this today because of the entertainment industry. And that Super Bowl game. You see, there's nothing wrong with entertainment. Absolutely nothing wrong with it. But if it becomes your whole focus, where's God? Are you sinning in serving yourself? Yes, you are, because no longer is God first. See, and I'm trying to make you aware that God was trying to say to me, God is against the proud. Well, what is that statement that says, I can do this all by my... How come you know the answer? I didn't tell you guys self. You have a problem with that corner? How many have had problems with self? No kidding. Okay. Let's go to that psalm that I spoke of you earlier. I believe it's Psalms 23. I'm sorry, 25. Yeah, I lost it. 25, verse 2. Right? It is the glory of God. Is that correct? I'm in Proverbs. I'm sorry. Forgive me. No wonder it's not working, huh? Forgiven? Now, didn't you guys know I was perfect? Haven't you got a clue yet? No, I'm letting you know that we all think we're perfect. That's part of the problem. We're using this instead of this. Which means our hearts. Verse 2. Psalms 25, verse 2. In you I trust, O my God. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. Now, who are your enemies? One of them is self. He's so well hidden, most of us don't realize we serve him. And I read a comment this week. Don't ask me where, because I don't remember where, but it's stuck inside my heart. The comment out of Satan when he decided to rebel against God is, I will climb above. I will. So selfishness begins with whom? No, selfishness begins with the enemy. Now, Adam and Eve had a good relationship and spent quality time with God in the garden until they decided to do things on their own. And the Lord said to them, where are you? And they said, oh, we were just hiding. Why? They were selfish or self-conscious. Do you understand the self is involved? And I'm trying to make you aware that once we get to see this, it begins to unfold an understanding of how come we don't get much from God. Because he's against the proud. And when we're saying, I can do this myself, we're really not saying I'm proud, but our statement is from what? Pride. So I thought I'd give you that. In verse 1, he says, to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. That's my mind, my will, my emotions. In you I trust, O my God. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one whose hope is in you will ever be put to shame. But they will be put to shame who are treacherous with excuse, without excuse. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your path. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior. And my hope is in you all day long. 20 minutes? All day long. Remember, O Lord, your great mercy and love. For they are from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. What are we talking about? We're talking about humbling ourselves, recognizing that we were, and now we're trying to what? Let him change us. Amen? According to your love, remember me. Not according to what I deserve. According to your love for me. Remember me, for you are good, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his ways. Who instructs? He does. He instructs sinners because we constantly fail or fall short. Correct? He guides the humble in what is right. How do you like them apples? He guides. He hides against the proud, but he guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his ways. So again, it's very important to recognize that as you humble yourself, he will lift you up. Why? Because he'll let you begin to see the mistakes you're making. And when you begin to see the mistakes you're making, you can make the choice and say, okay, Lord, I did it wrong, but now please help me. Forgive me. I did it in the wrong direction. I didn't realize that I was in need of humbling myself. How do I humble myself? Just recognize you can't do it on your own. That's simple. You have a major sin in your life. You can't deal with it. Lord, I can't handle this. This is too big. How many have a sin they call their pet sin? Thank you. We all have them. You know why? Because we make excuses to hold on to them. So hold on now, okay? I'm going to pray a simple prayer with you. Just close your eyes. Don't look around. Say, Lord Jesus, my pet sin. I expose it right now. I have a few. And I find excuses to hold on to them. But it's too big for me. And I admit it. I turn it over to you, Lord. Clean me up. I need you. I haven't been able to. But you're going to do it now. Because of your love for me. Because of your love for me. Because of your love for me. Because of your great love for me. Because of your awesome love for me. And you showed it on the cross. When you poured out that blood of your own precious Son. Just for me. Take a deep, deep breath. Way down deep and let it go. Blood of Jesus, blood of Jesus, wash them clean. Again, way down deep, way, way down. Let it go. Blood of Jesus, cleanse and heal the very inner parts and set them free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I'm not picking on you, I'm picking on me, because I'm just as human as the rest of you. But I want to remind you, verse 9, He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them His ways. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful for those who keep the demands of His covenant. What is His covenant? His agreement with you to help you and guide you and heal and set you free. That's His covenant with you. For the sake of your name, O Lord, forgive my iniquity. Now, iniquity is really the guilt of my sin. You know, the guilt of my sin has repercussions. Amen? If I went out and murdered somebody, wouldn't the law be after my... Yeah, they'd want to hang me, and they would be, what? Justified. After all, it's not right to go kill a neighbor. Sometimes we want to kill somebody in our... Yeah, we'd like to... Oh, boy. I can relate to a few guys. How many have got a few that like to...
I had a student this week.
Yep. Yeah, I had a student this week. Right. I like that. All right. How many parents have had a few kids they'd like to... How many kids would like to wring mama's neck or daddy's neck because he didn't do or couldn't do or shouldn't do or should have done? See how guilty we are? We're all in the same boat. And we can't change ourselves. But what we can do is run to Him. I can't love daddy right now. I can't love mom right now. I can't love you, God, right now. I'm angry! Never you guys. But I have. I've been angry at him. I remember one time I was shouting. I was so angry. And I heard, you know how when he's finally getting your attention, obviously. And I sure got his attention because I was screaming. And he said, did you finally get it off your chest? And I thought, oh my God. I did. He said, do you feel any better? And I said, yes, Lord, I do feel better. He says, I didn't fall off my throne, did I? Well, I guess not. His throne is where? Right here. Right here is where His throne is. He didn't fall off my heart. He didn't fall out of my heart. He was working on the inside. I swear to God, He had a little pickaxe. Trying to chip away some of the garbage that needed to fall away. But I wasn't aware of it. And I was just, oh Lord. So I remind you, He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them His ways. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful for those who keep the demands of His covenant. For the sake of your name, O Lord, forgive my iniquity, meaning the guilt of my sin. Though it is great, so you're aware of how great that you should be paying a price. You probably should be wrung out to dry. But God is saying, if you cry out to me, I will even erase what was due. Who then is the man that fears the Lord? He will instruct him in the way chosen for him. Do you hear that? He will instruct me in the way that God has chosen for me. Amen? He will spend his days in prosperity, and his descendants will inherit the land. Whoa. My descendants, because I humble myself, I let God teach me, he's going to give me all what? Prosperity. And my children will inherit the land. Whew, that's pretty good stuff, isn't it? The Lord confides in those who fear him. Did you hear that? Do you want to hear him? Yes. He'll confide if you are reverent towards him. He makes his covenant known to them. His agreements are going to be understood by you. My eyes are ever on the Lord, for only he will release my feet from the snares. How many have seen that you got caught by a pattern of thinking and you needed to change it? That's what I call a snare. You literally step into the noose. You have no idea it's there. It's well hidden. It's camouflaged. And as you keep walking, you find out, oh my God, I got a limp. What happened? I got a problem. Well, what did I do? Maybe I didn't pull down the bright thinking. Maybe I thought I was right. How many of you thought you were right? There you go. So much for your thinking, especially when you're proven wrong. Amen? What do you do when you're proven wrong? You go to the Lord. Lord Jesus, I thought I was right. Forgive me. It's not that hard to ask for forgiveness, is it? What will it cost you? It'll cost you your pride. Lord Jesus, would you teach me how I should have acted? Would you teach me how I should have responded? I thought I was right. Now I realize I wasn't right. And you know something? When we are able to do this, then the people around you in the body of Christ will begin to pray. And they'll be pressed of God to intercede for who? They'll be pressed in God to intercede for who? For you. Because you're crying out. If you are self-contained, if you are so righteous in your own eyes, who's going to pray for you? Zero. Because God is against the proud. God is against the proud. James 4. God is against the proud. Say it. He can't be on my side if I'm full of pride. If I can do it all on my own. God will not have intercessors on my behalf. Why should he? But that's true. It's the absolute truth. See, when I realized this years back, I was in total torment. And I said, Lord, what's wrong? And he says, you've got to humble yourself. What did I do wrong now? Did you ever cry that one out? What did I do wrong now? And yeah, like he's picking on me, right? Well, what is he doing? He's trying to make me aware that I got to change something. He's not picking on me. He's being nice to me. Okay? He really is. But you know what? Just because Mama did it that way, and Papa did it that way, and Grandpa did it that way, and Great-Grandpa did it that way, and I'm going to follow with what they did, that was wrong. Why do you think you can visit their grave? Because they did it wrong. Why is it you can't visit Jesus' grave? He did it right. Why is it that he resurrected after 3 days? Why is it that corruption could not enter his body? Think about it. You know, when we were in Israel, by the way, that's 10 years this month. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. 10 years in February we went. Oh, yeah, we asked everybody to go. We spoke about it for 6 months. But you understand, when we walked into that area where the tomb is, and we see the great big stone, and you see the empty slab, it wasn't what I could say the greatest impact in my trip, but it put a picture from a mental photograph to a real, tangible place. That's what it did. And I believe that a lot of times when we realize that Jesus did resurrect, it's like your timetables. You know it by heart. Or like the Lord's Prayer. You know it by heart. You rattle it away, but you really don't know what you're saying. Okay? You rattle this prayer stuff that you've done for tradition and to make a pass a mark or whatever. But when you are sitting there and they're explaining, he rose, that stone was rolled away, the guys that were up there literally were unconscious, basically. And by the way, I don't know how many men lost their lives, I don't remember the number, but because the guy escaped the sealed tomb, they paid with their lives. I mean, that's history records. Okay? That was the penalty. You lose that dead body, you're in trouble. And all of your men that are going to be guarding this place are dead with you. That's serious business. See, what I'm trying to make you aware of today is God is against the proud, but he lifts up the humble. Those that went for the body of Jesus and laid him in that tomb, God blessed. When Mary Magdalene came because she was in a hurry, was she really thinking about he had risen? No. She still got death on her mind. Yes? Okay. She shows up. She runs back. And the guys say, oh, come on, you foolish women. Ah, there she goes again with her visions. Right? What does that say? That says that the men had what? Arrogance and pride. What do women know? They know enough to go to the grave early. They know enough that when they meet the gardener, he's not the gardener. He was the Lord. And she got so full of excitement and joy that she was probably so bubbly that the guy said, there she goes again. How many have ever had a fanatic in their presence? Male or female? Because it can be both. Probably not as many men fanatics as there are women, but I'm one of those men fanatics. I mean, when God gets a hold of me, I get fanatic. And I get excited. And just ask my son, he'll verify, for quite a few years, I was way out there. I've calmed down a little bit. Maybe he's come up a little bit. But bottom line, I get excited about the things of God. And I want you to get excited about the things of God. I'm not picking on Mary Magdalene. I'm letting you know, she was faithful. She was hungry. She wanted everything that he had for her. And she got it. She was the first evangelist. Aha! Come on, think about it. She was the first one to say, hey, he's risen! Was she proud? She was at one time. Think about it. Was she the average little female? No. She had to have quite a few talents in order to do her job well. Yeah. She had to be a looker. Yeah. Think about it. And she used her beauty. Jesus transformed her from looking at her outside beauty, and he let her see the inner beauty. And she was chosen to be the first one that he would let himself be seen after he resurrected. What an honor. I believe she represents the bride of Christ. I believe she's trying to let us know, look, I was what I was, Jesus delivered me, and now He has chosen to reveal Himself to me. Close your eyes. Say, the bride of Christ is represented in Mary Magdalene because she was chosen to be cleansed by His blood, to be set free by His word, because He set her free. And then He revealed Himself to her in a very special way. That's what He's doing with the bride of Christ right now. Amen? Verse 16. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. The troubles of my heart have multiplied. Free me from my anguish. Look upon my affliction and my distress, and take away a few of my sins. I like the others. All my sins. See how my enemies have increased and how fiercely they hate me. Guard my life and rescue me. Let me not be put to shame. For I take refuge in you. May integrity and uprightness protect me, because my hope is in you. Redeem Israel, O God, from all their troubles. I'll let you kind of study that particular chapter on your own. I believe it's going to speak to you probably differently than it does to me, because we're all at different levels and all in different spaces. But what it does tell you is God wants us to acknowledge our shortcomings, our failures. He doesn't get upset because you got a problem. He doesn't get upset if you have a few pet sins. Even if you've got a big pile, it's not a problem for Him. And He'll clean you up one at a time. And if you're only lonely, He'll even handle that, because He loves you. Because He loves you. Amen.